The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work from the ground, it shall no longer yield you to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and a time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to also who have loved his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You know, our gospel lesson today is one of the most important parables told by Jesus. But before we look at that, I want to take a look at our Old Testament reading of Cain murdering Abel in Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve introduced sin into the world by rebelling against God in the Garden of Eden and eating the fruit that they were forbidden to eat. Things went downhill fast. And by Genesis chapter 4, we read, the rebellion of the first generation led to murder among the second generation. Cain was angry at God and jealous of his brother, Abel. And his anger and his jealousy led to murder. But here's the mysterious part of this sordid story. Genesis 4 says, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard or no value. And that's what made Cain so mad. So why didn't God value Cain's offering when he did value Abel's? Was there any real difference between Cain and Abel's offerings to God? Or did God just hate Cain for some reason? Well, to find out, I checked with our favorite Hebrew scholar, Chad Bird. And here's what he had to say. Cain was confident that his offering would be pleasing to God because he believed his own qualifications commended him to God. Qualifications including the fact that he, Cain, was the firstborn. In fact, his parents, Adam and Eve, believed Cain was the Messiah promised in Genesis 3:15. Abel, on the other hand, recognized that he had nothing to commend him to God. He wasn't the firstborn. He had no status. But he approached God not confident in his own qualifications, but confident in God's goodness, mercy, and compassion toward him. Cain believed that he deserved God's favor and was angry when he didn't receive it. Abel recognized that he didn't deserve anything from God, but he had confidence in God's goodness, which is a perfect entree to the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. As we just read, Jesus told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they treated others with contempt. He was referring to the Pharisees, of course, but he could have been talking about Cain also. You know, Jesus raised eyebrows on a regular basis, but this is one of the most scandalous, shocking, over-the-top, appalling parables of them all. And to fully appreciate the parable, there's some things you need to understand. Like what? Well, you need to understand who the Pharisees were and who the tax collectors were. Let me explain. In the town of Dachau, Germany, shortly after Adolf Hitler's rise to power, a concentration camp was set up for political prisoners. Dachau served as the model for all future Nazi concentration camps established to exploit and then murder German and Polish Jews. At Dachau, the practice of selecting out certain Jewish prisoners to oversee work gangs of other Jewish prisoners was established. These overseers, these Jewish prisoner overseers, were called capos. Capos were often selected from the ranks of violent criminals. They were often more cruel to their fellow Jews than the German guards. Capos were rewarded with extra food and privileges from their German overlords. But from their fellow Jews, it's hard to overstate the level of contempt and hatred they had for the capos. After the war, some former capos were hung as war criminals. Some were just hunted down and shot. The reason I bring this up is that the first century Jewish tax collectors were regarded by their fellow Jews much like the 20th century capos were regarded by their fellow Jews. First century tax collectors were hated, reviled, for good reason. They took money from their fellow Jews and gave it to the hated, occupying Romans, after keeping a generous slice for themselves. They were traitors. They were parasites, leeches. Any patriotic Jew hated the tax collectors. They turned on their own people, just like a capo. Well, who are the Pharisees then? Well, a modern Pharisee might say something like, I tithe. I give a tenth of everything I get. In fact, I fast also, not just once, but twice a week. God, I thank you that I'm not like those other non-Christians, or even like those non-committed Christians. I wear a WWJD bracelet all the time. And Jesus is my first love. He is. I'm different from other people. I'm better. Well, what's wrong with that? Nothing, if it were true. But it's not true. You're not better than other people. You're not even all that different. You're just another sinner who's the recipient of a righteousness that comes from outside of you. The imputed righteousness of Jesus given to you. And as far as Jesus being your first love, I know this is really, really offensive. And I apologize for being offensive. But if that's what you truly believe, please read Romans 3 and read Matthew 5. You know why this parable was so scandalous, so shocking and over the top when Jesus told it? It's because at the end of the parable, Jesus pronounced the hated tax collector, this capo, as the righteous one, not the esteemed, respected Pharisee with the WWJD bracelet. So why was the tax collector righteous instead of the Pharisee with the bracelet on? Well, it must be because the tax collector was so humble. Don't you think? It says he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Humility. Be humble. That's got to be the takeaway from this parable, isn't it? No, that's not the point of the parable. Here's why. We make a mistake when it comes to God. We're always looking for what we do It's always about me. Tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it. I got this handled. That's why the Hebrew word for sin, when translated literally, means curved in on itself. We're all self-centered. I need to be humble. I can do humble. I got this. Here's the problem. First of all, you can't make yourself humble. Life makes you humble by beating the crap out of you. If it hasn't happened, it will. The second and most important point, though, being humble is not the takeaway from this parable. The point of this scandalous parable is not that you need to be more humble. The point is not that you need to do anything. The point of the parable is that the only source of your righteousness is Christ. Righteousness is always a gift given to you, imputed to you. It's not something you can earn by your good behavior or even your service to the church, I hate to say. But it's true. So the good news is you can relax. You don't have to keep score. You don't have to work harder. You don't have to do more. God loves you anyway. You can be like Abel instead of Cain. You can have confidence in God's goodness and mercy and compassion toward you. You can be at peace. And in those periods of your life when you just can't see God and nothing makes sense, in the midst of tragedy or sadness or profound disappointment, when your prayers sound like screams of rage, there will come a day when the clouds will part. God has not abandoned you and never will. Just like the sinful tax collector in the parable, you are justified, forgiven and accepted and loved by God. And your future is bright. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us. Lord, help us to grasp that our only righteousness is the righteousness that you have given to us. It's not anything that we have earned or even deserve. Lord, help us to understand that and be filled with gratitude toward you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.